Welcome, nerds, once again to the news. In today's episode, we have cancel culture being truly put to the test over in the music section. We have in the gaming and tech section, science fiction is coming to life. Plus, it's also, you know, we're also reanimating the dead corpse of Fallout 4. Marvel is trying to capitalize on Wolverine's name. Once again, we have the first trailer for the second season of that one show we all hated has dropped. We're going to talk about that. We have movie rumors confirming left and right and a bunch more. So let's get into it. We will start things off this week with music, like we usually do. We have Marilyn Manson not being a stranger to being canceled, but will it stick this time? That is the question. Plus, Will Ramos is confirming a sentiment that we have been talking about on this channel a fair bit since we started talking about Lorna Shore. And vintage tour news for anyone who is a fan of late 90s, early 2000s music. We're going to get to all of that, plus quite a bit more in this week's music section. So we start things off in each section with follow-ups and corrections. The follow-ups this week have to do with Marilyn Manson. So he hasn't done something new necessarily. This is a continuation from previously when we were talking about Manson going on tour with Five Finger Death Punch. And I believe the opener is Slaughter to Prevail, which is a crazy bill. But so there was an interview recently on the Jesse Lee show with Zoltan Bathory, who is the lead guitar player for Five Finger Death Punch. They were talking specifically about Manson, and Zoltan is saying that Manson is clean and sober, and this is going to be some of his best shows. I'm paraphrasing from the interview, but that seems to be the sentiment that Zoltan, the guys in Five Finger Death Punch, not being alien to the idea of substance abuse. So it seems pretty on character for them to be extending an olive branch to a fellow artist who has had issues with substance abuse as well, and giving him a chance to redeem himself. So that's actually an uplifting news piece this week when it comes to cancel culture, which is really the only time I will willingly talk about cancel stuff on the channel, because the rest of it just seems like a waste of time. That's kind of where we're at right now with the Manson stuff. As those dates start happening and reports start coming in as to whether or not Manson shows up on time, completes his set, you know, all of that stuff will be follow-up fodder, if you will. But that's what we got for follow-ups this week. Let's talk about new music, shall we? We have another new track from High on Fire. This is the title track off of their new record, Cometh the Storm. This track, very different from the last one we got from them, in that the vocal mix is really muddy and just buried. Not that High on Fire really has had the best vocal stuff previously, but the last one we got with that weird AI music video was just the vocal mix sat better. Always, I'm going to be a fan of Matt Pike's tone, just because the dude has the tone of God in his fingers, as well as coming through that amp. So it's still a solid track, though not as solid as the first single off the record. So very interesting. Gonna be really interesting when this record finally drops what the rest of the album sounds like. Then we have a new track from Architects. The name of the track is Curse. I'm not generally speaking very big on Architects. Just, I don't know, it's metalcore, which is a genre I really do get into, just for whatever reason, have never really been able to get into Architects. And this new track isn't changing anything. Honestly, from what I know of their catalog, this is honestly less aggressive than they've done previously. So that doesn't really kind of bode well as far as my interest is concerned. I'm sure if you're a fan of Architects, then you dig it. If you like kind of the more soft side of the metalcore, you'll probably dig this. But otherwise, I would say stay away. There's better Architects tracks. There's much better metalcore out there. So take with that what you will. Our next new track comes from Enterprise Earth. The name of the song is I Divine. We talk about this regularly when we're talking about genres we generally cover here on the channel, and that is experimenting with form. And the dudes in Enterprise Earth definitely do that with their chosen subgenre of deathcore, I'm pretty sure is where they would sit. Sometimes I'm really terrible with subgenres because a lot of them, really the only difference is the words. The lyrical content, so it's sometimes a little hard to tell, but yeah, Enterprise Earth, if you dig the aggressive stuff, I Divine is definitely going to be a track that you're into. I haven't heard anything from this band that hasn't been great, and this is just continuing the streak. Then the next track we have is from metalcore stalwarts August Burns Red. The name of this track is The Cleansing. It is featuring Will Ramos of Lorna Shore fame. This is proof that Will is a much more dynamic vocalist, I think, than he was given the ability to do on I Remain, I believe is the name of the Lorna Shore record, the last Lorna Shore record. Just kind of was not, I think I got the record title wrong, but either way, just not to his true potential. And then you stick him in front of a band like August Burns Red and you give him dual vocal duties and the kid can really shine. He has some really great chops under his belt and this is a fantastic example of that. Also a fantastic example of August Burns Red's chops because I don't think, again, this is another band that really you would have to dig for something that was subpar by these guys. And that would be super early in their catalog and honestly, you might be hard-pressed even then to find subpar music from these guys. They just are incredible musicians who always knock it out of the park. This is no exception. I absolutely recommend The Cleansing. Go check it out. Next up, we have a new track from Immanence, a band that we've talked about briefly previously. Haven't really dug into their catalog yet much, but everything that they've been putting out since they have become a blip on the radar is super solid. The name of this track is Beyond the Pale. This is just stellar metalcore from the country of Sweden. These guys rock. I don't know what it is about the heavy music from that country, but it is a very small country that has a very high output of quality heavy music in many subgenres of the heavy side of things. So yeah, I don't really know what they're putting in the food or the water or whatever, but it's working, so keep it up and go check out the new Immanence track, Beyond the Pale. And speaking of small places that put out high quantity and quality of music, we're talking next about a Georgia band called Doth. Doth have been around for some time. They just put out a new track called Ascension. I don't understand what it is about Georgia that just brings out the riffs in folks, but this is a riff kind of salad, it would seem, which works for it and against it in a lot of ways. There's definitely a section in the middle that probably could have been cut because it starts to feel a little meandering. But I mean, that's really just getting nitpicky at this point. Ascension by Doth is a prime example of how you can get really proggy and still stay super heavy. So yeah, this is another band. I'm not super familiar with their back catalog, but everything that I have been hearing from them has been fantastic. And this, once again, is continuing that trend. So go check out the new Ascension track from Doth. And then Kerry King is our next one. New track for his solo record, Residue. This one, much like the first one, Shades of Slayer, if you will. The lead singer for his solo project just kind of looks like a small Tom Araya, so it only seems fitting that he also sounds like a small Tom Araya. But I don't know that you would have expected anything less from Kerry King. If you are not a fan of Slayer, you're probably not gonna dig this. But if you are a fan of Slayer, and I know there are minions of you, many, 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 many minions, this is right up your alley. I don't know, whatever, go check it out. Rounding out the new music session is a new track from Thursday. Screamo emo, maybe? Band from the early aughts, late 90s-ish. I know when I was like a senior in high school, they became a big thing or something along those lines. But the name of the track is Application for Release from the Dream. This is the first track that they have released in 13 years, and I still don't like Thursday. I'm sorry. This is a subgenre of the aggressive side of music that I just could not get into. Even as it's aged, it just doesn't really do much for me. If I'm going to listen to sad boy music, it's going to be like Korn or Deftones or something like that. There's something about the screamo side of it that just really does not click with my ears. And this isn't helping anything. So if you don't already like Thursday and the music they produce, you're not gonna change your mind with this. So stay away. That puts us into tours and festivals. Kind of not a whole lot has been announced over the course of the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I think, since we've done a proper pre-recorded episode, which I find very odd. But I did find some stuff kind of scraping around a little bit, and there's some interesting stuff going on. Deep Purple and Yes are going on tour together, which is, for anyone under the age of 30, those two bands probably don't mean a whole lot. Those two band names, I guess, probably don't mean a whole lot to you, but they really, really should, because those are two of the most influential bands when it comes to modern hard rock and metal music, probably of ever. I mean, not the most influential, because obviously that's Sabbath and that's Zep and it's et cetera, et cetera. But I would definitely put Deep Purple and Yes very, very close to the same echelon as Sabbath and Zep, because Deep Purple very much influenced Metallica, who is influenced Legion themselves. And then Yes is one of the premier like prog rock bands that started in the 70s. So they've been doing this for some time. No, I think they even started earlier than that. So this is a significant tour, because this kind of shows us how people in these more aggressive styles can age and age well, and they're still doing their thing, and it's freaking amazing. So the dates for this begin August 14th, run through September 8th. No supporting acts were listed, but that's probably because it's Deep Purple and Yes, so they're probably each going to play for like 2 hours, I would venture. And I honestly would not be surprised to see them alternating spots night to night. Kind of like the Gojira Mastodon Will Ramos Lorna Shore tour that happened last year. Just they are on equal footing, so it would make sense that they would take turns headlining. So yeah, tickets as always can be found if you follow the links down low. Next on the tours list, we have Power Man 5000. So if you are a fan of, I don't know if I would necessarily put Power Man in the nu metal bin per se. They're kind of more like in a nu metal adjacent, like alt rock, industrial rock hybrid thing. But they're going on tour with Sponge, who are definitely just grunge. Tantric, which we'll talk about them in a second, and Closure. I don't know who the hell Closure is, but Tantric, if you maybe know the name but don't really know why, Tantric used to go by a different name called Days of the New. There's a whole big story about that. I think we've touched on the channel before, but the lead vocalist and main songwriter for Days of the New, cat named Travis Meeks, kind of pulled an Axl Rose and fired the entire band. So what they did was they stayed as a band, replaced Travis effectively, and called themselves Tantric. I honestly did not realize they were still doing the nostalgia circuit, but apparently they are still doing the nostalgia circuit, which is kind of, I don't know, that might be a little unfair to Power Man 5000, because they're actively still putting out new music. I think Sponge just put out a new record as well not that long ago. I don't think Tantric has done anything of note recently, though I could be wrong. If you're a Tantric fan, please correct me, because I'm kind of a fan myself. Those are very talented musicians. But we're going on way too long about one of the supporting acts for this tour. Power Man 5000 tour dates start July 2nd and run through July 29th. Tickets, again, link in the description. From there, we have our last tour, and that is Dream Theater. This is a European tour. It will be the first tour that Dream Theater has done with Mike Portnoy on drums since 2010. So it has been 14 years since they have had Portnoy on the drum throne. It's going to be running October 20th in London through November 28th in Amsterdam. I was unable to find ticket links for this one, probably because it's European and I'm not in Europe, but go check out dreamtheater.com and I'm sure they will have tickets available there. That's what we got for tours and festivals, so let's move things over. Don't have any regular ass news this week. We only have suggestions, and this is a very unique music suggestion. So our music suggestion is a new band called Throne. Not like I sit on a throne, but like I throne a ball. So THROWN, these guys, it's a new hardcore band, new-ish hardcore band. They only have 8 tracks up on Spotify right now, and the grand total length of all 8 tracks together, if you listen to track 1 through track 8, you're gonna waste 17 minutes. So I would say, you know, go check out this song or that song. Just play the 17 minutes of music, because it honestly, from my musical digestion standpoint, it feels like one big long prog metal song, and I can totally get behind that. But if you digest them individually too, they feel a lot longer than they actually are, which speaks volumes to the talent of these guys. So your musical suggestion this week is the band Throne. Go check them out. Now let's talk gaming and tech, shall we? This week in gaming and tech, we have a school district in Los Angeles is bringing part of the works of Neal Stephenson to life, though I don't know if they know they're doing that. We also have Activision showing us that they are the absolute kings of the microtransaction. Palworld DLC, we cannot escape Fallout right now, so we're going to talk about that and a little bit more. So let's jump into gaming and tech. So our first follow-up comes from Nintendo. Not Nintendo necessarily. This is kind of a follow-up more on the fact that Nintendo shut down the 3DS and the Wii U connectivity. This deals specifically with the Wii U. So there is a new service called Pretendo. It's going to act as a replacement network for the Wii U. It has released an SSL workaround as a replacement for the missing Wii U network. So you're not going to have access to the Nintendo Store at all, but you will still be able to play your multiplayer online games. And there's a little bit more to it. If you follow the link down in the description, then they have all of the information you could possibly need on not only how to set it up, but also what exactly it patches as far as features go for online play. There is still the possibility that Nintendo themselves could be patching out the capabilities of this Pretendo to function. It's not out of the realm of possibility. Hopefully we can distract them otherwise with this whole Switch emulation situation, that they don't care about dead consoles anymore. Though, I mean, technically speaking, the Switch is about to be a dead console too, so I don't know what's going on. But if you have a version of the hardware, or the firmware rather, on your Wii U newer than 5.5.5, I believe there is only one version of the firmware newer than that is 5.5.6. So if you have the 0.6, you're kind of SOL. If you have 0.4 or earlier on your Wii U, I believe they also have a patch so that you can upgrade your firmware to 5.5.5 and then you can use Pretendo. But I don't think there's an option to patch 0.6 backwards. Again, link in the description. They have a little bit more information than I do because we're just talking headlines, damn it. From there, our next follow-up has to do with Mortal Kombat 1. Of course it does, because Ermac just launched this morning, I guess, as I'm filming this. And I have yet to play my Ermac because it's been a very busy day, but I did download my patch, and I have gone over the patch notes, and it's not exactly what we were thinking it was. There is a couple of changes as far as Raiden is concerned. They kind of switched up Raiden's meta, but ever so slightly. They have totally nerfed Peacemaker, which I can totally get behind. But as far as the big thing that we talked about last week in the live show, with the new moves coming to Scorpion, Rain, and Reptile, that is not exactly what we were hoping for either. Reptile got a whole bunch of love. Reptile is still kind of in his own league as far as the meta goes on Mortal Kombat 1, because he doesn't really exist inside of the same meta as 98% of the rest of the cast of the game does so far. He's not exactly a poke grab kind of character, whereas everyone else really, really is. So they've just kind of really done a lot more to help distance him from the rest of the cast in that way. But then as far as Rain is concerned, there are a couple of new, he has two new strings, technically two new standard moves, not any special moves, but two new standard moves that start off those strings. It's pretty cool. If you go check out the Real MK Tom Brady's breakdown of all the new stuff, he goes into great detail. But the one that I want to touch on the most is my main for Mortal Kombat, generally speaking, and especially for Mortal Kombat 1, and that's Scorpion. So we were promised that we were going to be getting a new combo string with Scorpion. While technically that is accurate, it is not the kind of combo string we were looking for. It's a variation on his forward 3-2, and now it's a forward 3-3, so it starts mid, and instead of the second hit being a high, it's also a mid. So if they try and duck your high, you're going to hit them. But you can't combo off of that second hit. You can combo off the second hit of the 3-2 because it knocks him in the air and then you juggle. I wanted a low, just one low. Give me something that I have a proper 50-50 with my main so that I'm not completely just reliant on my cameo. I am okay with the cameo system. I think the cameo system is actually really refreshing, a really cool way to not only pay fan service, but also kind of switch up the meta that was getting a little stale up to this point. Let's be honest, a little stale. I'm always going to be a fan, but I want something to bump him up. Just, I don't need my main to be S tier in the game. I do want him to be at least B tier, and he's still a C tier character. Like, to be honest, not really. There's not a whole lot of people who are scared when they see that I'm playing Scorpion. So I feel like just one proper 50-50 would make him very much a more dangerous character. But now we're rambling about a real quick update. Happy Ermac Day to everybody. I'm super excited to get to play Ermac. Nice to see that he's a rushdown character this time around and not so much a zoner or a counter zoner or anything like that. He's really functioning as a more rushdown character. So I'm very excited to get into that because that's generally my playstyle. But yeah, that's what we got from Mortal Kombat 1. So let's get into the big, meaty follow-up. And this has to do with Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. So we've kind of touched on this game a couple of times since its release. This is the most egregious example of following up on this game that we've ever... All right, so microtransactions are a thing, especially in games as a service times that we live in, because in order for developers to feel like they've made the money that they want off of a game, effectively what they're doing right now is, A, they're launching broken games and then fixing them as they go. So they're really launching with betas, but that's a whole different argument for another day. And then the other thing they're doing is microtransactions. They're going to give you a new skin, but you have to pay them $4, or in the case of Mortal Kombat, $12. They're going to give you a new skin. They're going to give you weapon skin. Hopefully it is not something along the lines of pay to win, where if you don't pay them for the microtransaction addition to the game, like say it's some sort of amazing weapon in a shooter, then that's kind of a broken way to do it. But everyone kind of has settled on the aesthetics. You're purchasing aesthetics through microtransactions by and large. So we got a new melee weapon that is coming to Modern Warfare 3, and it's the Beast Glove. This is a cross promotion with the Godzilla X Kong movie that just came out, The New Empire. It's a melee weapon, which isn't going to do a whole lot for you in a shooting game. But I'm not a Modern Warfare player. I'm not a Call of Duty player by and large. Played very limited amount of time of that game in my life. Generally, I'm more of a sci-fi shooter, not a realistic shooter. But yeah, so it's a melee weapon in a realistic shooter. That is $80. That costs more than the actual base game itself, and it's a cosmetic piece, effectively. You're paying $80 for cosmetics. And not only that, but if you've earned camo skins or you've purchased camo skins up to this point, it will not be reskinnable. You will not be able to skin it with anything you have earned skins-wise. It is just the one look for the thing. And that's it for $80. Thanks, Activision! Oh boy, there is very likely going to be a follow-up to this, probably a month or two down the road, so hopefully we will catch wind of it, but it's not really a game on my radar, so maybe, maybe not. That's what we got on that one, though, so let's move over. Our next follow-up has to do with Adobe. Actually, this is kind of a dual follow-up, because we keep tabs on Adobe a little bit as far as tech goes, but also AI, and the AI revolution just will not stop, and Adobe is feeding into it. So previously, Adobe products, the AI integration has only really been a part of the, I mean, they kind of have integrated into Premiere so far as like you can edit a lot quicker in that it will automatically cut out gaps, empty space, and also will cut out filler words, ums, uhs, and ahs, and that kind of stuff. So that was integrated. That's the extent of the AI integration up to this point into Premiere. But about a year ago, the last yearly update for Photoshop brought us a whole slew of AI features as far as generative AI goes. So you have the option to just blank canvas, create something brand new. You can outpaint is what it's called. You take a picture and make it bigger and it fills up all of that new empty space with something that is relevant to the picture that already existed. You can remove objects with AI. The AI capabilities in Photoshop, the image editing software, are kind of through the roof. So anyone who doesn't actively use Adobe products probably doesn't know this, so I'll give you the TLDR at least a little bit. There are multiple instances of each of their programs inside their suite. What I mean by that is there's a beta version, and then there's the standard version. So things get tested in beta, don't always make it over to standard. So And not everything has a beta version that's available to the public, but the programs that do is their video editor, Premiere, their image editor, Photoshop, and then their video, how do you even describe After Effects? It's the asset creator. It's the thing where you can, you get like all of my lower thirds are made in After Effects. All of the cool things that pop up on the screen, all of that's After Effects. So that's kind of, I mean, it's a much more powerful video editor, but it's also much harder on your computer system. So that's why, you know, the linear style of Premiere is preferred by most content creators. Anyway, rambling a little bit. So all of that is to say, AI is now being even more integrated into Premiere. At some point this year, Adobe is saying that we are going to get a bunch of the stuff that they just unveiled in a new press release. There's going to be object addition and removal in Premiere. There's also going to be generative extend, so you can take a clip of footage and extend it with stuff that wasn't there previously. There's also going to be text to video options, and all of these are going to use multiple variations on what we know of for video creation AI. So it's not just going to be Adobe's model that they're going to integrate. They also have plans to integrate the other three big models. I don't have them in the notes because, say it with me, class, I take amazing notes. But Sora is one of them. That's the OpenAI model. I don't think they're going to do Stable Diffusion's video AI, video diffusion, I think is what it's called. I don't think that one was included, but the basically the other three are. Sora being the only one I can remember the name of right now. It's fairly Pika is another one. Fairly irrelevant though, you don't need to know the name of the model, but just know that they're going to integrate other models of AI creation into their AI integration. And that's kind of bonkers. Now, there is a video, you're probably seeing clips of it right now on the screen if you're watching the video, and otherwise you're just listening and I sound silly saying things like that, but there is a video that they released showcasing these options. Now, the biggest part of the video that they're showing, that they released, is not actually the AI at work. It would seem some of the clips that they're using are the actual AI at work, especially the ones that they're doing the comparison of the different AI models. But the biggest kind of moment in this video is there's supposed to be diamonds in this briefcase. So they highlight the empty spot in the briefcase where there's like three or four diamonds, and then they say briefcase full of diamonds in the text prompt, and then it gives them three different options for what it could look like. And they choose one option, and that, my friends, is not AI generated video. That is actually them reshooting the same scene, or the same shot anyway, and filling that briefcase with fake diamonds. That is not AI doing that. You can see the difference between that shot specifically, and the other shots, because the other shots have this dramatic uncanny valley situation going on where it's like you can still kind of see where the thing was that got removed, or the things that are created straight from text to video look like they were created straight from text to video. This is not always going to be the case. It will get better. This is as bad as it's ever going to be. It will only get better from here. So it's really cool to see this kind of integration this fairly early in the life cycle of AI and generative AI. But we're almost to the point where Adobe is justifying the $600 a year, $650. They just raised it last year. $650 a year for their full suite. Like, up until this point, it was like, either do this or pirate it, and I don't want to get in trouble for pirating the software, so kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. And I already know this ecosystem, so trying to learn the other ecosystems out there would just be setting me back. So again, rock and a hard place. But now, with all of this other stuff that's making the life of a solo creator that much easier, I don't know. I'm almost to the point where I think that the $600 is worth it. So good on you, Adobe, I guess. Let's go from there. We're going to talk about Threads. More AI. Oh, yay. This one, though, not nearly as fun. So Threads lacks DMs. You cannot DM somebody on Threads, which is Meta's Twitter killer, right? Or X killer at this point. So this is functionality that people have been trying to get Meta to incorporate into Threads for some time at this point. And now they're kind of doing that, but it's a very strange situation. So first of all, you can message from Threads to somebody, but if you are on the receiving end of that, then you receive the message in your Instagram inbox with no differentiation. So that's fun. But also, if you're on the sending end of that, you have to send your message effectively through an AI chatbot. Yeah, your guess is as good as mine. I got nothing. I don't understand how it's so hard. There is a Facebook messaging app. There are DMs in Instagram. Why is it so hard? Maybe it's because of those two things already exist, and so Meta doesn't understand why they need to make yet another instance of direct messaging, to which most people say, because we don't all use those other things, so why make our lives more difficult because you're lazy? Yeah, it's very strange, and this is just further illustrating the obsolescence of the X platform killer. So, yeah, okay. So, all right, so now let's get to trailers. We do have one trailer for Gaming and Tech, and it's, well, there's a whole bunch of trailers because there was an indie developers conference that happened the beginning of the week last, or I'm sorry, the middle of the week last week. So it was like as I was going to publish is when it started. So there's been a couple of trailers there, but the one that's really worth talking about is PAL World. We have a new trailer for PAL World, for new PAL World DLC that opens up a PvP stadium. So you can do PAL World Stadium. Yeah, that's, I mean, I feel like this is just going to further illustrate to Nintendo, hey, maybe we should be doing this with the thing that we created and not let somebody do a secondhand version of it. Because this is what the grown Pokemon community has kind of been wanting for some time. So yeah, it's super interesting. Go check out the trailer. It's very, very short. Link in the description. Moving on from there, let's talk about some regular ass news. First up, really awesome. Continuing with that AI conversation, we have the LAUSD school district, the second largest school district in the nation, is going to be giving their students, they're experimenting with it right now. They have 55,000 students who have access to it with the hopes of rolling it out to the entire student body of the district. It is going to be an AI digital assistant for everyone from grades K through 12. So this is a Neal Stephenson novel. If you read The Diamond Age, like I have suggested a number of times on this channel, then you will know that while it is not exactly Nell's version of the illustrated primer, it is the Mouse Army's version of the illustrated primer. It is effectively what this is. I mean, this is the absolute base level rudimentary version of that, because obviously it's not a smart book, but still it is an AI assistant. Now it's going to interact with students differently depending on age and grade level, etc., etc., where for kindergartners it's going to be just very basic gaming kind of things that keeps them interested in learning and school oriented topics, and then for the older kids it's going to be more like a helpful planner and kind of keep them on task kind of thing. Now I have not seen exactly what it is that they're going to be giving this to the kids in, if it's just going to be a piece of software that they have on their laptops that have been provided to them from the district, because again, second largest district in the nation, they've got a little bit of money and that's cheaper than the books, right? So that's kind of why they get Chromebooks. Anyway, that's a whole different argument, a whole different conversation rather. But just, this is furthering that AI conversation. Now, is this going to be a net good? That is the part that remains to be seen, because there have been some concerns raised by the parents of the kids to see exactly what kind of information the AI is pulling from their children, and how sensitive is that information, and what is going to be done with that information once it is ingested into the AI. And just general like security issues that are always associated with AI in today's age. Those things apply, absolutely. But honestly, maybe not this first iteration of it. Oh, and it's called Ed, I believe. It's a little sunshine thing. I'll have an image of it on screen. But the first iteration of it is not going to be the greatest. It will probably be pretty great for the younger audience, but anyone over probably 6th, 7th grade is probably not going to find a whole lot of use for it yet. Also, you know, it's very limited in its information access, because right now it can only access things inside of the school district. It can't access the internet at large. Because that's a whole nother set of issues. How are they going to protect against adult content and so on and so forth? So, like I said, the initial iteration is not going to be perfect. It's not going to be great by any stretch of the means. But think of this in terms of 2 or 3 years. Because the way AI is going, the way it is advancing, at the rate in which it is currently progressing from one iteration to the next, 2 years' time, 3 years' time, we could be on the 5th, 6th iteration of this. And it's going to be amazing. It's going to be, there's the other side of this argument is it's going to make things potentially too easy for some kids, in that it's going to facilitate plagiarism, kind of like ChatGPT does to a certain degree, or any large language model, really. So again, how do we ignore the situation we're in with AI and still keep our growing the next generation and upcoming generations? How do we keep them on top as far as the world stage goes? I think we have to embrace AI and we have to learn how to integrate it so that we can make the learning process easier, because I mean, not everybody is gifted to be able to retain information perfectly or really very well at all. So having an AI assistant might help in that. There are so many ways it can help. We have to find ways to integrate it so that it's more help than hindrance. And I think we have the capabilities of doing that, though with it being in the hands of the public schooling system, I have my serious doubts that we're going to reach those capabilities before it becomes more of a nuisance and before it becomes more of an issue. So definitely be keeping tabs on this one, though it will probably be months and months between, but I'm super intrigued by what's going on here. And then we're going to do just a real quick kind of cultural situation as far as the gaming community is concerned, specifically tabletop gaming, though it gets a little bit more broad than that because it's Warhammer 40K. Recently, it was announced that there is a female custody. I am very limited in my Warhammer 40K lore, so please bear with me. But female custodian, and previously up to this point, it has never been made explicit that there have been females in this faction of the people in the universe of Warhammer 40K. So, as could be expected, the community is a little bit up in arms over the fact that all of a sudden, this once thought to be completely male faction is now completely female. When we have two other factions in the lore that are exclusively female, it was thought that this was kind of the counter to that, and now I don't have it in the notes because honestly, literally just got this right before, so I didn't have time to look as deep into it as I would like, but I'm just going to throw my two cents in here. From an outsider's perspective, a nerdy outsider's perspective, so somebody who's part of this culture but is not specifically part of this subsection of the culture, this screams lazy. It also screams checking social justice boxes, but there is always room to make it work as long as you incorporate the lore properly. And it sounds like that's not what happened here. Just all of the sudden there was a story that had to do with something that breaks the lore, and the production company that has put out all of the Warhammer stuff said, actually, we never explicitly said one way or the other, so we can say that they've been here forever and there's no way you can prove us wrong, except for apparently that has happened. They have been proven wrong, but so that's infuriating. I can totally understand that. The other side of that, though, is, again, limited knowledge of Warhammer 40K. It sounds like the lore moving from the beginning up until now has kind of been full of a bunch of retcons and full of a bunch of changes that broke the lore until the retcon happened. So I have no specific instance to use as an example, but basically something happened that was a soft retcon, but it was deemed acceptable by the community, though the Warhammer's been going for so long at this point, it definitely predates social media. So I would imagine if it was born with social media, we would hear about every one of those retcons every time it happened, because there would be some faction of the fandom that gets upset about it. Things change, and we don't do very good with change, do we, nerds? It's difficult to except when the change is made sloppily. But if it doesn't completely break the lore, I don't see the problem with it. This is also coming from somebody who 90% of all of these gender swaps and race swaps and all that, I completely don't see the point in and find them to be absolutely useless. This isn't exactly that. This is a gender injection, if you will. This is fairly minor, and there is a big creator, I can't think of his name right now, watched a video of his about this, and he's a big Warhammer creator. He's all about the lore, and while he doesn't agree that it was necessary, he also doesn't really see the damage the same way as the rest of the community does. So it's just a very interesting situation. If anything rolls out of this, we'll keep tabs on it. But that's what we've got there. Let's move on, shall we? Because we're spending a lot of time in gaming and tech. All right, so next up we have Fallout 4. Gaming news on Fallout 4. This game is all but dead at this point, and Bethesda is smelling blood in the water, it would seem. So there is a modernization project going on behind the scenes right now at Bethesda for Fallout 4. They're going to be updating Fallout 4 so that it runs native on Xbox Series consoles as well as PlayStation 5. So it will be free to play, I believe, by everyone. Fallout 76 is free if you're on Xbox because it's on Game Pass. I don't know if it's free on PlayStation, so somebody with a PlayStation, please let me know in the comments. But it is free on the Xbox, and Fallout 4 has not yet been made free, but it will be made free by the end of this month. And on top by April 25th, there it is. It is actually in the notes. Check that out. As well as on the Microsoft Game Pass on PC. I don't think in the Steam store it will be free, but on Game Pass it will be. And not only are they updating that, but which is basically just a graphical overhaul, the other thing that they're doing is they're adding actual content, actual gameplay content to the game. There's going to be an additional quest that deals with the Enclave, and more settlement options for building out your settlements and customization and that kind of stuff. So it's a game that we already know and love, and most of us have already beaten it. Actually, I haven't beaten Fallout 4, but it's because, like they say in the Amazon series, thou shalt get distracted by bullshit every time. Yeah, that was my Fallout 4 experience. I think I made it 10-15% through the actual storyline of that game. I spent about 80 to 100 hours in that game building settlements, doing all of the side quests and stuff. Didn't care less about the actual storyline. I got all the expansions, everything, and yeah, that's just the way it goes. So more of that, apparently, and I'm honestly here for it. I love that stuff. So April 25th is when all of that Fallout stuff should be hitting the shelves for free, the digital shelves, if you will, for free. So yeah. From there, we have one last piece of gaming news, and this one has to do with Invincible, another Amazon Prime series. And I forget who published the comic book. I apologize. I know it's whatever. So Skybound Entertainment is developing a AAA Invincible game. There is going to be a game based on the Invincible IP. I don't believe strictly the TV show. It is said to be contributing new stories to the multiverse. So we'll touch on that in just a second, because that very well could be a red flag and should launch on all current platforms, though that has not been explicitly made certain, because if they're just now starting development on it and we're about a year to 2 years or so away from the next generation of consoles, it might launch on next gen consoles and not this generation of consoles, though who freaking knows at this point. So I say that was a red flag, the whole multiverse thing, because if, say, they launch the game and the fandom dislikes the story, well, they can write it off as, oh, it was just multiverse stuff. It has no relevance to anything. Or if the fandom loves it, then they can say, well, yeah, this is part of the universe. We're adding content. This is stories that weren't told in the comic books. These are stories that weren't told in the animated series. These are just stories unto themselves that only exist in the game. Theoretically could be nice, but if they leave themselves that little caveat, then maybe they're not going to try so hard. I don't know. It just seems a little sketch to me. So that is what we have for gaming news, though. Some regular ass news. So let's talk about our suggestion for the week in gaming. This is a total cheat, and I am willing to admit that, but Mortal Kombat 1 is our gaming suggestion for the week. I don't know if you noticed, but I'm a fan, and Ermac just launched, and I'm super excited about this. Honestly, if you are part of the fighting game community, I think this is going to be a very fun week as far as Mortal Kombat is concerned, because just that, the combat cast really got me hyped for Ermac, and so that is your suggestion for the week, because that's all I'm going to be doing, so maybe we can have a conversation about it, or you can, you know, come play against me. Either way, that's what you got. Now on to comic books and books. In this week's comic book section, we have DC is copying Marvel once again, I guess. Also, Marvel is copying Marvel, and that's an interesting situation. And then Jeff Lemire is staying the hell out of it. So that's what we got. Let's get into it, shall we, nerds? No follow-ups or corrections, no trailers to speak of, just some regular old news. And to start things off in regular news, we have Absolute DC. So you know how there's the Ultimate Universe in the Marvel comic books? Well, apparently DC was like, and now they're going to be doing it for them. There is a fairly big difference. Hold that thought. This has been done previously. They have tried to do alternate universes, alternate universe versions of their stories, alternate universe versions of their characters, and so on and so forth. This one is a little bit different because it is going to exist simultaneously with the mainline universe and is not going to be the new 52. So it is going to be helmed by Scott Snyder, who is one of my more favorite modern Batman writers. So this could be very interesting. This one also is going to be different than the other Elseworlds stuff that they've done previously, in that it's not just going to be a couple of books here and there, a one shot here, a little three story mini or three book mini there, that kind of stuff. This is going to be simultaneously, like I said, existing parallel to the mainline stuff on DC. With Scott Snyder involved, I am very intrigued by this. So as it starts happening, we will be keeping tabs. Let's move from here, though, over to Marvel, and that is The Life of Wolverine has just been announced. It is a new comic book that will be covering the life. It is a new comic book that will be covering the life story of Wolverine. They've done this. Why do we need this again? Because Wolverine's about to be huge, once again, with Hugh Jackman playing him in the Deadpool movie for the last time, maybe? They're just capitalizing on the fact that Wolverine is one of the most popular comic book characters of all time, and I don't expect much of this is going to go very far. It is set to be released during Wolverine's 50th anniversary, so that should be sometime soon. I don't remember. Didn't put it in the notes because I take amazing notes. But yeah, so 50th anniversary is this year. I just don't remember what month. Actually, maybe that is in the notes. Hold that thought. Wolverine's long history, blah, 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 blah. July! Hey! I did put it in there. So this July is when it will be launching. Yeah, I just don't see this being super, unless it's a collection, and it didn't say it was a collection. It said it's a new book about Wolverine's life story. They just have a bunch of stuff on the cover that comes from other Wolverine stories that we've read throughout the years. Whatever, it's stupid. All right, and then our last piece of regular-ass news for comic books and books comes from Jeff Lemire. Lemire is going to be producing through Boom Studios. Boom Studios will be publishing. It's going to be a new long-form series from Lemire. It will be his most recent one since Sweet Tooth. Lemire is going to be writing and illustrating. There was no Yeah, no name of the series given, so your guess is as good as mine there, but it is going to be edited by the studio editor himself, Matt Gannon, and that's kind of all we've got on that one, so let's move over to suggestions for the week for Comic Books and Books. It's a book suggestion. We're talking about William Gibson's The Peripheral. Right there. It is a little old at this point. It's about a decade old. It came out in 2014. It is the first book of his newest trilogy, the Jackpot Trilogy, the third of which still has yet to be released, the second of which came out in 2020. So we're probably looking at another year or two before the third book launches. But this will get you in at the ground level of the most recent works of William Gibson, and it will give you the book novelization of the series by the same name on Amazon Prime, which was fantastic and was canceled, and we talked about that when it happened. Either way, Gibson is great. This is his most modern work, and it's freaking fantastic. Check out The Peripheral from William Gibson. So, much like weeks previously, nerds, this episode is sponsored to a degree by Dubby energy drinks. I would have a Dubby on me right now, but I've drank copious amounts of caffeine today already, so I don't need to do that to myself. But B, I just finished off my tub, so I have to order a new one, which is super easy. If you follow the link down in the description, use code GENERALLYNERDY at checkout and you get 10% off of your tub of Dubby. That code will work once they start rolling out the cans. I keep getting emails about cans are in the works. Cans are in the works, so hopefully soon we will be also doing cans of Dubby. Again, you can get your 10% off using Generally Nerdy at checkout. Thank you very much to Dubby for partnering with the channel as well as sponsoring the videos when they do. So that's what we got for the sponsor ad. Let's get back to the news. And now on to the TV section. We have surprise announcements and returns, and that's honestly about it. So let's do this, shall we? All right, so in TV, we have a couple of follow-ups. First up, Monarch Legacy of Monsters over on Apple TV+, the Godzilla-adjacent story, is getting a second season, so congratulations to everybody involved with that. I still haven't watched it yet. I still haven't honestly watched Godzilla X Kong, which I'm totally slacking on my Godzilla movies, but yeah, that's pretty freaking awesome. And then our other follow-up over here is American Horror Story Delicate. The current season has returned. I believe we're actually two episodes into the return, but we didn't talk about it last week because I spaced it off and then we were gone the week before. So yeah, if you are watching American Horror Story, you have, I believe, two episodes to catch up on now. And Wednesdays are when those launch. Before I forget to mention that, that's what we got for follow-ups and corrections. Let's talk now about trailers. We have Open Range. Nope, I wrote it. That's why I texted it to you like that, because I wrote it in my notes wrong. Outer Range, the Josh Brolin series on Amazon Prime, the second season, just dropped its first trailer. It is coming May 16th. Judging by what they give us in the trailer, and this, I could be wrong by the end of the actual season, but judging by what they give us in this trailer, it seems like we're going to be asking more questions than those that get answered in season two. So I really hope there is a long form plan put in place and is confirmed just only behind the scenes at this point, so that we get more than just the second season. I want at least three seasons out of their show. Super excited. Go check out the trailer. Link in the description. And then our other trailer that just launched that is worth talking about this week for TV is Velma. Season 2 is coming because so many people hate watched the first season that their sound scan numbers came back positive, and so they were like, yeah, let's do a second season of this garbage show that everyone was shitting on when it came to time in the when anyone was reviewing it. Even the people who were supposed to like it didn't like it because it wasn't funny, but so many people, once again, hate watched this show That doesn't matter. They saw positive numbers, so they're doing season two. So what must we do, nerds? A, don't actually go watch this trailer, because I sure as shit didn't. But B, don't watch the show, because it's going to be more of the same garbage. There will be those in the community that kind of have to watch the show so that they can fill the rest of us in on exactly how much garbage it is. But that doesn't mean that all of us have to watch this show in order to hate on it. Just ignore it. If you ignore it, in this case, it probably will go away. So there. That's all we got for trailers. There is no regular ass news to talk about in TV streaming, but there is suggestions. And this week's suggestion, you probably already guessed it based on the rest of the stuff that we've been talking about in today's show, and that is Fallout over on Amazon Prime. I have the final episode, I have like the last half of the final episode to watch because I tried to binge it all in one day and it didn't really work. But I would binge the second half of the last four episodes anyway. Yeah, the first seven episodes are great. I really feel like a lot of the worries that the community had were unfounded once we actually got the product, which is kind of what I always say, is I reserve the right to judge this thing until it actually exists for me to pass judgment on. And once the thing was released into the world for us to all pass the judgment on, largely does very well. Yes, there are some of the Comicsgate sites that nitpick certain things about it, and really they're still talking very highly of it. They're just focusing on these nitpicks, but still giving it praise, even though they're being nitpicky about it. So it is your turn to watch Fallout on Amazon Prime, or borrow somebody's Amazon Prime or something, because if you are a fan of the games, you will absolutely be a fan of the show. So now let's get into the movie section, and we honestly have three movies being announced that previously we talked about in the rumor section. So I'm feeling kind of warm and fuzzy about movies this week. Let's get into it. Starting things off, we have follow-ups. The first follow-up is Five Nights at Freddy's. We talked about this in the rumor section previously. It has officially been announced. I kind of thought it was already officially announced, and then I went back through my notes and did not see the official announcement. So here it is, official announcement. Five Nights at Freddy's getting a sequel set to be released the fall of next year, which means they are very likely already in production, though I did not see any confirmation there, but no, yeah, whatever. So from there we have Star Trek. The officially been announced that it's happening. It will be a prequel is the new piece there. Prequel to the 2009 J.J. Abrams movie. Still no title for it, but it was at CinemaCon. They talked about it. CinemaCon happened, by the way, last week, so a lot of the stuff we're talking about in the movie section comes from CinemaCon. But yeah, that's all we got that is an update for Star Trek. Let's move over to Sonic the Hedgehog 3. We got the announcement that Keanu Reeves is going to be who is voicing Shadow the Hedgehog, who started his existence in the world of Sonic the Hedgehog as a villain. So very interested to see if they actually do that in the movies. And with Keanu Reeves doing the voice, it'd be a little bit of a change for the Keanu-sance. Then we have, also one that we talked about in the rumor section, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin movie officially announced at CinemaCon. So this is the R-rated version. The comic book was was the most recent and potentially last collaboration between the original creators, Kevin Eastman and Laird. Why can't I think of Laird's first name? Whatever. Officially been announced it will be rated R, and it is going to be, where is it? Tyler Burton Smith is going to be the writer for it. Walter Hamada is going to be producing. It's coming out through Paramount. Tyler Burton Smith is noteworthy. He's currently working also on Kung Fury 2, and he wrote the script for Boy Kills World, which is another movie that looks super freaking awesome. We've already talked about that trailer, though. Next up, we actually have two very related movies that also came from CinemaCon. First one being Transformers 1. This one kind of is a confirmation from a rumor that we talked about previously, though not directly. It is the Scarlett Johansson situation where she was in talks to be the star of the next Transformers movie, which is not exactly how it played out, so that's why we're not necessarily counting this one as a confirmation. But we do have official casting announcements made here. We have Chris Hemsworth will be playing a character named Orion Pax, who is actually the young version of Optimus Prime. We have Tyree Henry going to be playing a character named D16, who is actually the young version of Megatron. Scarlett Johansson, as we talked about previously, is not going to be the star. She's going to be another voice. She's going to be voicing a character named Alita, that no other delineation was made there. John Hamm is going to be a voice in this one as well. He's going to be voicing Sentinel Prime. The trailer is said to be dropping tomorrow as I'm filming this, so hopefully today as you're watching it. So if there's a link by the time I publish, I will put it in the notes. Otherwise, we'll talk about it next week. And then the release is supposed to be September 13th of this year. Director Josh Cooley previously worked on Toy Story 4. And writers are Andrew Bearer and Gabriel Ferrari. Could not find any nerdy credits to their names necessarily. So will be a very interesting situation. I think we're still kind of seeing the death throes of the Transformers franchise. That being said, our next story is another of the confirmations, and that's Transformers X G.I. Joe. And this one might be what keeps this franchise alive if they do it like they did in the comic book. So, CinemaCon also brought us the official announcement that we are going to be seeing Transformers versus G.I. Joe. Super early in production. They have not even yet hired a director for this. We do know that Steven Spielberg is going to be on board as executive producer, though, which usually means good things, though he has not bat a thousand up to this point necessarily, just pretty high. So yeah, as more information comes out for that one, we will be keeping tabs, because like I said, that one probably has the most potential to keep franchise alive as far as the movies are concerned. There are no real trailers to talk about. We have no regular ass news, but we do have a suggestion this week, and we're talking about an older movie, the supposed Matrix Killer, when it was being released and they were doing all the promos for it. The name of the movie is Equilibrium. It stars Christian Bale, Taye Diggs, and a couple of the faces you're going to recognize, but those are the two main ones. It was directed and written by Kurt Weimer, who has a slew of nerdy credits to his name. You can wiki him if you want. This is just a super freaking awesome science fiction movie. A lot more of the future dystopia kind of stuff. You have a very socialist government put into place that doesn't allow its subjects to feel feelings, which rings a little too close to home these days, but still pretty freaking interesting. Equilibrium is a fantastic movie, a fantastic Christian Bale vehicle, and an even better science fiction movie all around. So go check it out. That is your movie suggestion for the week.
Maybe. It's classified.
Which only leaves the rumor mill, and this week's rumor mill, we cannot escape the juggernaut that Fallout has become again. Also, Dead Space 2 is likely in for some bad news, if you want to believe the rumors, and Amazon is being pretty nice to comic book nerds, it would seem. So all of that and a little bit more, let's talk about rumors, shall we? Starting things off, we have confirmations to get out of the way because we got a couple of them right. That's right, we did. We already talked about the movies, but we're going to go over it real quick. We have Transformers versus G.I. Joe, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin, and the sequel to Five Nights at Freddy's, all of which were given very high likelihoods here on the channel to be legitimately happening, and they have all been recently announced to actually be happening. So I'm going to pat myself on the back a little bit and we're going to move right along. We don't have any new sources for old rumors. We just got new rumors. So let's get into these, shall we? First up is another Fortnite crossover. This time Fallout apparently is who they're going to be crossing over, which seems okay. Sure. Why not? It's a platform at this point, right? So why not just build a version of Fallout in Fortnite? Wouldn't that be freaking crazy? But this is kind of an interesting situation because Fallout tried to do with 76. They tried to do a battle royale mode with Fallout 76 and it didn't go over so hot. So maybe this is the way to do it. I don't know. But yeah, there's at this point with the Fortnite leaks, I'm pretty sure all of the Fortnite leaks we've talked about have come to fruition, so there's no point in giving it a low score. So we're looking at about 90% likely, and that's being rather conservative at this point. Our next one has to do with Thunderbolts. We did just talk about CinemaCon and in the movie section, and that did happen last week. And when they did the Thunderbolts presentation with Disney, there was a little asterisk, and Kevin Feige said that they would talk about what that asterisk means after the movie launches. So that has gotten the speculation going crazy in the rumor mill. The most legitimate rumor that I could find that has to do with what that asterisk implies is that everyone at the end of the movie is going to die. There has been some caveats carved out for Florence Pugh as well as Sebastian Stan, very potentially, because those two characters ostensibly could exist for much longer in this universe, provided they both sign on more contracts. I think Sebastian Stan's contract is probably up with this movie, so if he doesn't re-sign, then they'll kill him off. That's kind of a whole lot of speculation, though, on my part. And there's really not a lot to go on as far as like concrete evidence for this being potentially legitimate. And it comes from a rather bad source. But what with this being being sold as the sequel to the Black Widow movie, Florence Pugh being very potentially the lead character, lead actor rather, in the movie, it seems that at the very, very least, her character will survive because she's going to be continuing on the title of Black Widow, right? So that's why we're bumping this just barely over that halfway mark. We're going to say 55% likely that that is the case, that that is what that asterisk means, is that everybody's going to die, except for Florence Pugh. All right, so our next one has to do, it's another gaming rumor, though this one's a little bit weaker than we normally get for gaming, and it's Dead Space 2. And that's just wishful thinking, I think. So Dead Space 2 reportedly is now officially dead in the water. The lackluster sales, as reported by EA, who produced the remake of the first game, were not enough to justify a reboot. So the rumor says that the team that was going to be working on Dead Space 2, which was not going to be a remake of the original Dead Space 2, it was going to be a continuation of the remake of Dead Space 1, if that makes sense, telling a different story than they told the first time through. So according to the rumor, the team that was going to be working on Dead Space 2 has been reassigned to Battlefield and the Iron Man project that we've talked about a number of times at this point on this channel. So normally, again, our video game sources are very, very good. This is a different gaming source, so not the same track record, but it seems pretty legit. So we're going 70% likely that we will not be seeing a sequel to the Dead Space remake, because that all makes sense, I promise. And then our next one has to do with Invincible. We have leaks purporting that Amazon has signed the Invincible animated series on up through season 5 already. They just have not made the official announcement yet. This isn't a leak that we normally get from like a rumor monger or anything like that. This comes from there was a job listing. No. It was the announcement for the game. The announcement for the game had a job listing that, as part of the job listing describing the person they're looking for to work on the Invincible game, then somewhere in the vocabulary in there it said that there will be up to season 5 on the Amazon animated series. And then it was taken down rather quickly, so I was unable to get a screenshot of it, but that seems pretty freaking likely, considering even though there was 2 years between season 1 and season 2, we still have a pretty decent following. It's been in the top 10 on Amazon for since season 2 started. I don't think it's left, even with four months in between the first half and second half. It's still in the top 10 over on Amazon. So yeah, that makes total sense. We're going to say about 90% likely we will get up to season 5. Beyond that, very much shaky, but up to season 5, I would say we're looking about 90% likely that is legitimate. And then that's what we got for our regular rumors section. So let's get into a little bit of speculation. So this has to do with the Fallout TV series. I feel like the story that they're telling, I mean, going from the length of the games, if we're treating this like it were a game, we'd be going on this story for 20 seasons, 10 seasons at least. I don't think that's going to happen. I'm going to put this out there. I think we will see confirmation of continuing Fallout through season 3. I think once we hit season 3, either they will start a new story or they'll just be done with the IP as far as live action TV goes. But we will get a season 3. It already has been announced for a second season. We talked about that last week. So I think we got one more season coming out of Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy. And then past that, I could be off in that they just pass it off to a new showrunner. But really, I think the more logical explanation is going, or the logical outcome is going to be, we see a third season that concludes the story and they start a new series. Maybe call it a spinoff, but I don't see it going past three seasons. But again, speculation, that's the whole purpose of this little subsection. And that is what we got for the rumor mill, nerds. Which puts us into housekeeping. So let's talk about housekeeping.
Housekeeping?
We have a couple of things coming up. There is going to be, not next week, but the following week, we very probably will be doing a live show or no show at all. I need to consult the schedule. So 2 weeks out, we might not be doing a show. It might just be maybe a couple little clips here and there. But by and large, we'll be a different situation than normal. And I think that's all we really have for housekeeping.
Housekeeping?
Come back in an hour.
The other content for the channel, if you will, because I keep saying it and it hasn't happened yet. But the other content for the channel, as far as interviews and stuff go, I'm honestly still working. So hopefully it comes to fruition. We just need to do what we can to make it happen, send the emails and whatnot. Yeah, I don't think there's any other major scheduling changes. So yeah, that is what we have for housekeeping this week, nerds. If you want to see the episodes where we talked about the speculation around the Transformers, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, etc., etc., then you're going to have to click or tap the link that pops up on the screen right here, or don't forget to subscribe, like, do all of the things. I appreciate your faces, nerds. Before we go, always, always remember that if it's generally nerdy, it's probably here.